Please ask him to come to the platform to tell us what the Lord has laid on his heart.
Amen. I always said that it makes a big difference when you sing and there's music playing alongside of you than when you sing and people just have to listen to your voice. Very good, Brother Kaiser. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 26, which is the entire chapter, but we're going to glean from it what the Lord would have us glean. I like to always call this a chapter of contrast. A chapter of contrast. There's so many things that are contrasting in this chapter as we examine it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we look into your most perfect word, we know that we can only glean an understanding of it through your Holy Spirit. And so we need your Holy Spirit. Those of us who are saved, we have him indwelling within us. And if we're not saved, O God, he is still here to convict us of sin and of righteousness and of the judgment to come. And so, because it's your word, we know that it will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish that which you intended to do. So, Father God, as we would look at this passage, enable us to gather our portion that we need that we may experience you afresh. As we come before you in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. I sometimes think that many times we underestimate our needs. We really do. And an example of that is if I said to you, and you were hungry at the time, what do you need? What do you want? And let's say your favorite meal is a steak with some soft mashed potatoes smothered with some butter on top, and then maybe a string bean at the side, and you told me that's what I need. And I says, okay, I'll make it for you. And I make it exactly as you wanted it. And after it's made, I reach into the garbage can, take out a plate, and put your meal on that plate and hand it to you. I'm sure you would not eat it. But you told me that's what you needed, and I'm giving it to you. See, the problem is, not that you needed the food. You underestimated your need. You really want that meal, but you want to enjoy the experience of eating that meal. That's your ultimate need. Me putting it in a plate destroys that, because you can't enjoy eating that meal knowing that it's sitting in a plate that you saw me take out of the garbage can. And so many times we underestimate our need. And I was thinking that we all have a need. This thing or that thing. Some of us say we need more money. We need a job, a raise, a car. Or maybe it's relational. We have family issues. We have a problem with a parent, a sibling, a coworker. Maybe it's time. We need more time. I'm just too busy. I need more time. That's my need. Or perhaps it's a medical need. Well, as we look at Acts chapter 3, we're going to see how God meets needs exactly in terms of exactly what's needed. It starts off, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, which is 3 p.m. 3 p.m., Peter and John go up to pray. That's normally when they went to pray. And by the way, when the first century church started, there wasn't a complete separation between Christianity and Judaism, for the members of the Christian community many times went to the temple to pray as they were accustomed to. And so Peter and John go to the temple to pray. Now the first contrast is that it's Peter and John, right? The denier and the beloved. They go to the temple to pray. Now they're going to the temple to pray after the greatest community outreach that there ever was had occurred. 3,000 souls added onto the church. Now imagine if we had an outreach we preached and 3,000 people were added to Good Tidings. That's a time to sit back and talk about what this group did and that group did and this group and that group, and to feel pleased about ourselves. But they didn't do that. They went to the temple to pray. You see, the most important prayers that you will ever pray is when you're successful. In your successes, we run and pray when things happen. And you know what? When God answers them, many times we don't pray. We don't go back to Him. You know, I've said this before. Many times I get a list or items from people, please pray for this person or that person in the family, they're doing this and doing that. And we put them and we pray for them. But no one ever comes back and tells me, please have the assembly pray because such and such happened. Many times we say, so-and-so is in the hospital. Someone yells out, oh, they're home. Well, when they went to the hospital, you were quick to ask people to pray. Let us know when they come out. You see, their most important prayers are when you're successful. Because you're letting God know that you know that that success has nothing to do with you. And so they go up to the temple together at the ninth hour, at the time when they were accustomed to pray, and that's the time God created an opportunity for them. A certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. The contrast is that the temple are where people are scurrying, going back and forth, and here's a man who can't walk. And Luke, being the physician, lets us know that it didn't happen because of an accident. He never experienced the ability to walk. He was lame from his mother's womb. He was carried daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. That gate separated the court of the Gentile from the court of the Jews. As the outside, when you look at it, it was bronze, but when you went inside and looked at the back of it, it was inlaid with silver and gold. The Beautiful gate. And that's where they put him. They had to carry him up a number of steps. He was born lame. He had to depend on the generosity of others to carry him into that temple. They had to come back and get him, perhaps take him home and get him ready for bed. This man could do nothing. So what he needs appears to be very obvious, right? We would say he needs to walk again. So he's asking, he's begging for money. He can't walk. So not only is he lame, but he's poor. He's indigent. He doesn't have any funds. This is also a picture of what you're like when you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're poor, you're helpless. There's nothing that you can do to get you right with God. You don't have the ability within yourself to get right with God. And so he sees Peter and John about to go into the temple, and he asks them for money. He didn't ask them for healing. Perhaps maybe he didn't know that they were disciples of Christ. So let's give him that. If I can just have some money, perhaps it will meet my need. He became so locked into a way of thinking, he couldn't imagine what God might do. How do I know that? Because that was the time people were going to the temple to pray. He didn't say, could you go in there and pray that God could heal me since you're going to pray? No, I need money. Or so I think. So fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. Look at us. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So the man thinks he needs silver and gold. He's begging for money. Peter and John look beyond that need and said, you don't need silver and gold. Besides, we don't have it. But they did not also focus on what they didn't have. They focused on what they have. What did Peter and John have? They had the power of God operating in their lives. And so he said, look at us. I wonder if I went, or if you went to my neighbor, or if I went to your neighbor and say, when you look at him or her, do you see Christ? Look at us. So the man says, okay, they're about to give me something. Because he's anticipating, look, you know, and notice the contrast. Peter and John says, look at us. Most of the times, if you're sitting on the train and someone's coming through begging, you look away. Be honest, right? If you went outside and you saw someone who looked, you know they were going to hit you up for some money, you would avert their stare. Perhaps they'll walk by me. Let's be honest, tell the truth, shame the devil. But they said, look at us. So he looked, but he was anticipating getting something, but not what they were going to give him. Peter says, silver and gold in verse 6, I do not have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, the man, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Now, let's examine that, because many times we miss what happened. First of all, Peter says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. So this is not going to be anything that Peter and John can do. It has to be Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the living God. So he takes him by the right hand. Now, Peter, now acting on that faith, is leaving the natural and entering the supernatural. He lifts him up, and the man's feet and ankle became strong. But the man had to exercise faith. Suppose he said, he's lifting me up and I can't walk. That's why the Bible says, he leaping. You get that? You get that? That's how a dead man can respond to God. The only person a dead person can respond to is God. Always remember that. That's why the Holy Spirit convicts you, and the Bible said, however, you must believe. They didn't say Peter lift him up and dragged him and started walking with him and taught him to walk, because this man never walked from his mother's womb. The man exercised faith as well. Because when they lifted him up, he let me go. He leaping up stood. He could have said, well, what if I fall back? No. Faith. Walked and entered the temple with them walking, leaping, and praising God. Peter's able to do this through the power of God. But I want you to understand something. When God heals something, there's always a bigger point or a bigger message or a bigger reason that he's doing it for. The healing was not for this man, as we're going to see. Remember when a paralyzed man was lowered through the roof to see Jesus in Mark 2, 9 to 11? You know what Jesus first says? Your sins are forgiven. And then he said, arise, take up your bed, and go home and walk, all right? Why did he heal the man? To prove that his sins were forgiven. Because that's the first thing he said. Forgiveness was his greater need. And likewise, this man was healed in order to open the door for Peter and John to tell the crowd their greater need. And so Peter now preaches the second greatest sermon that he's ever preached. The lame man thought he needed silver and gold. When Peter healed him, he thought that was what he really needed. But Peter and John know that it's not silver or gold, it's not healing. This man needs the very God himself operating in his life. He needs God to reach down into his life and touch him, and that's what we need. Because when God does it, it changes everything. And so he went now with them into the temple, the same place he never entered. He just stood outside begging. Now he could go in. That's a marvelous picture of salvation. Why stand you outside in fear? The blood of Jesus invites you to draw near. the grace of God, he now enters into the temple. And when, look at this, verse 9, all the people saw him walking and praising God, then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. This man jumps up. He begins praising and telling everyone about the goodness of God. And do you know, when God meets your need, you got to tell somebody. When he meets your need, you can't stay still. Jeremiah says it's like fire shut up in my bones. Show me a Christian who can't talk about God, and I'll show you a Christian that has not experienced the power of God in his life or her life. When God gives you a peace in the midst of loss, you've got to tell somebody. When God is there for you at your darkest moment, you've got to tell somebody. You see, our need is not money. Our need is not more time. We need the very God himself operating in our lives. We need to experience the living God, but let's clarify what that means. What does it mean to experience the living God? It's one thing to say we need him, but how do we experience him? I want you to focus on what happened. The people were astonished or amazed, and they came running. The word for astonished means amazed or alarmed. And sometimes when you encounter God, it's both amazing but scary, isn't it? When God does things in your life that you don't expect, it can be very alarming, very amazing, but it could also be very scary. And you would think that all these emotions going through them would drive them away, but they come running. That Greek word there means as a flock of birds as they're flying together. Think of all these people jumbled up like the start of a marathon race, and they all take off at the same time. They all come running to Peter and John. They're attracted to this supernatural display of God's power. And if you're experiencing God's power in your life, I'm going to tell you, people are going to come running to you. They're going to want what you have. You see, that's why Christ left us here, to show others what the power of God operating in our lives can do. I remember when I was working, there were so many times people would come in my office, close the door, and just say, I need to talk to you. And I would always say, why me? There's something that you have that lets me know I can talk to you. And that's what God expects us to do. Many times it's not about handing out a tract. It's about being the type of person that someone could look at you and say, I need to talk with you. And so they come running to Peter and John. And you know, like this crippled man, this crowd needed God as well. You see, we come to God because we need God. It's not about needing money and time and this and that and healing and all that. We need God. And when God gives us what we need, through that experience, we get God himself. Let me say that again. God works through the giving of what you need so that you can experience the power of God in your life. I remember when my wife and I were newly married, the first big purchase we went to get was a car. We went to Reedman's in Pennsylvania. Years ago, a lot of believers went there. They didn't have just a big car lot. They had acres and acres of cars, and they were divided up by different prices. So if you want a car for $1,000, you went to this side. And we figured we could afford anywhere between $2,000 and $3,000. Yes, that's what cars cost then. So we went to that area, and we started walking, looking. We spent most of the day looking. And I'll never forget this, because it was the first time I experienced God himself, the power of God. And I looked, and we decided on this car. It was a Buick Riviera. I don't know if you remember how it looked like back in the day, but it kind of came back and had fins that went out like that. And the guy said, okay, but before you get it, we have to take it. And they took it to a place and they checked it all out. They had a huge thing, maybe like 50 bays. And then they would call them, you would wait there maybe half hour or so, or wait until the car was checked out. And the guy said to me, I'm sorry, we discovered a serious problem with this car. We cannot sell it to you. So I was so disappointed. We were there almost the whole day. And I said, I can't go home. So I just started praying. I said, Lord, we have to get a car. So walking out of that area, there was a car, an Oldsmobile Delta 88, light baby blue with white vinyl top. And it was very expensive. And I looked at it, and I said to the man, what's going on with that car? He says, the owner of that car just traded it in on a Cadillac. We haven't had a chance to check it out as yet. But once we do, and if it's fine, this car will not sell for what I'm going to sell it to you now. If you want this car as is, we'll sell it to you for what we're going to sell you the other car. We will still check it out. If there's something egregiously wrong, we won't sell it to you, but you have to let me know. I said, yes. They checked the car out, perfect condition, brought it back. The guy said to me, you got yourself a bargain. You know what I experienced? I experienced God himself. Because when we went home, I said, honey, how is it that we walked around all day and we never saw that car? And we're getting ready to leave, feeling down, sorrowful, and there that car is. And how is it that car was brought in today, not checked out as yet, because it was worth much more than what he sold it to us for? And on top of that, I was talking to the guy, and I said to him, do you know John Reedman? He says, oh, yes. That's the owner's nephew. I said, oh, he goes to Seton Hall with my brother. He says, really? He says, okay, we'll take care of you. We went home. I had that car for 15 years. And the only reason why I got rid of it is someone went to steal the car, busted up the steering wheel, and it cost too much to fix it than what the car was worth. So I donated it. But what I tell you is, God did not give me that for the sake of giving me a car. He gave me that so I can experience his power in the giving of the car. And that's what he does, okay? And so when he talks to this crowd, he now explains to them why this man can walk. He says, why are you looking at us? It's not from our own power. And he starts telling them about Christ, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of his father, his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed. You disowned him before Pilate, even though Pilate decided to let him go. And you disown the holy and righteous one and ask that a murderer be granted to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this. Listen to what he said. You killed Jesus. And do you know each and every one of us here killed him? Because he bore our sins on the tree. We didn't literally kill him, because he says, no man takes my life, but we caused his suffering. We caused his pain. Because when he bore our sins on the cross, the wrath of God was poured out on him. You see, they needed conviction. They needed to be aware of their sins. He says to them, this Jesus, this one that you disown, this one whose name you're too embarrassed to say at work, this one who you're too embarrassed when you get your meal out in public to bow your head and pray, okay? This is the one who's now risen and exalted at the right hand of God. This is the person that you need. But we just didn't need Jesus. Look at verse 16. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. He said, it is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed this man. You know, we need that same type of faith in Jesus. Look, it says the faith that comes through him. So the faith we have actually is faith that Jesus gives us. It comes through Jesus. Jesus gives us the faith that we need to have faith in him. Isn't that amazing? It sounds counterintuitive, but in order to believe in Jesus, you need Jesus to give you the belief. And if you're here and you haven't put your trust in Jesus, you haven't put your faith, your belief in Jesus, or if you're here and your faith is weak and not part of your life, what you need to pray is, Jesus, please give me your faith. Or as that man said to him, Lord, I believe, but Lord, help my unbelief. You see what he said? Help my unbelief. I believe, but I kind of believe. I believe and I want to believe. Lord, help me believe. Give me the belief. And Jesus marveled. He marveled. Because that man said, I have people that I can order around. So just say the word. Just say the word. But I need you to help my unbelief. The gospel is the good news that Jesus died and rose again so that by faith in him, you might know and experience the power of God. We need to experience God. We need the conviction of God. We need the faith in his son, Jesus Christ. And look at this. We need his refreshment. Yet now, brethren, verse 7, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers, but these things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So first he says, repent. Turn your being from sin to God. Doesn't mean you'll never sin again, but you're turning your mind and will and affections to Jesus. And it's not a one-time act. It's a lifestyle. It's a daily act of turning to Jesus. When we repent, two things happen. Our sins are wiped out. You know, when they wrote on the ancient papyrus, the ink didn't have acid. So when they wrote, it just laid on top of it. And when they wanted to erase something, all they did was get a wet sponge and wipe it, and the ink came off. That's the picture that's here. Jesus shed his blood, and he wipes away our sins if we repent and trust in him, and he forgives us completely. And now it's the times of refreshing come from the Lord. That's why he says, come unto me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn of me, and you will find rest for your souls. That's the time of refreshing. You see, that's the peace of God. I will give you rest. You now have peace with God. Find rest for your souls. That's the peace of God. That in every situation, your soul is at ease. Or as we sometimes sing, it is well with my soul. And then later on in verses 21 to 26, as I close, Peter promises that Jesus is going to come back and restore everything. So we need his restoration. So as I close, when the crippled man looked at Peter and John and said, silver or gold I do not have, and Peter says, what I do have I give to you, what he's saying is, I can't give you silver, I can't give you gold, but I can give you what I have, which is Jesus, and that's all I have for you, and that's all you need. So here's the question for you. Do you want him? Do you want him? You know, we have many needs, but in order to satisfy all those needs, you first must have Jesus Christ. So do you want him? Do you want Jesus Christ in your life? Do you want Jesus Christ operating? Do you want the power of God in your life? You can say no, because the choice is yours. Or you can yield to his Holy Spirit and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior today. How do I get saved? The Bible says if you can confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. Why? To prove to you that he says he is who he says he is. Thou shalt be saved. So I ask you to bow your heads as we close. If you're here this morning and you want to accept Christ as your Savior, put your hand up, put it down, say, pray with me. I want Christ operating in my life. I need to have the power of God. Or perhaps you're here this morning and you're trying, but there's some strength missing from you, from your faith. I see that hand. There's something missing. You need to pray, Jesus, give me your faith. For it's only by faith can I please God. And that faith that God is looking for, here's the catch, is his faith that he gives you through Christ. So that's why by faith, it's impossible to please God because you have to have the faith that comes through Christ, which is God's faith, and that way you can please him. So if you're here this morning and you want to surrender to Christ, simply pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I come to you a sinner, but you died for me on the cross, and I surrender to you my will and all that I am. I repent and turn to you. I believe that you died for me and that you rose from the dead for me to let me know that you are indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God. And according to God's word, your word, you simply say, if I call upon you, I shall be saved. And thank you, Lord, as I do that, for saving me and sending your Holy Spirit to convict and lead me into this salvation. And if you prayed that prayer, I want you to come up to the front right now. Come up and I'd like to talk with you. and share with you from God's word how you can be saved and know it. It's something you only do one time. And we will now, as you have a seat right here, amen. Praise God. Is there anyone else? You came in here, you know you don't have the faith that saves. You want to give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ today. Come forward right now. Surrender to him. Eternal God, our Father, as we bow in your presence, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the gospel, which is the good news, that a man or woman, boy or girl, can get right and enter into the eternal presence of the great God and creator of heaven and earth simply through faith in the accomplished work of Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary. Now, as young Clark has come forward, we pray, O God, that the Holy Spirit will take the words that he's heard today, convict him and convince him of the eternal salvation and the gift of God that's freely offered to him. And perhaps there's someone else who's perhaps shy and did not want to come forward, oh God. We ask that they too will experience the goodness of God and the power of God through salvation in that name that's exalted above every other name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for us who are saved, let us never forget that this life that we live is the Christ life, and only Christ can live that life, for it must be done and lived through the faith that he alone can give us. So enable us, O God, through situations that you allow in our lives, to truly, truly experience that in the midst of all these things, God is still there. And we have God himself taking us through whatever we're going through. And so we get to understand through your word, O God, we don't need more of this or more of that. We simply need God. Enable us to understand that and to efficate that in our lives so that the power of God can flow out through us and draw others to the saving power of Jesus Christ. We thank you for your word that's so new and fresh every time we look at it. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we pray. Amen.